Out. Jared was closest to Kyle. I could see that the back of his neck was bright red. Jamie clung to one of his arms, holding him back. Ian was on his other side, his arms crossed in front of him, the muscles in his shoulders tight with strain. Behind them, every other human but Doc and Jeb was massed in an angry throng. They surged behind Jared and Ian, asking loud, angry questions.
"What were you thinking? How dare you? Why'd you come back at all?"
Jeb was in the back corner, just watching. Sharon's brilliant hair caught my eye. I was surprised to see her with Maggie right in the center of the crowd. They'd both been so little a part of life here ever since Doc and I had healed Jamie, never in the middle of things. "It's the fight," Mel guessed. "They weren't comfortable with happiness, but they're at home with fury." I thought she was probably right. How disturbing. I heard a shrill voice throwing out some of the angry questions and realized that Lacey was part of the crowd, too.
"Wanda!"
Kyle's voice carried across the noise again, and I looked up to see his deep blue eyes locked on me.
"There you are! Could you please come and give me a little help here?"
Chapter 55. Attached. Jeb cleared a path for me, pushing people aside with his rifle as though they were sheep, and the gun a shepherd's staff.
"That's enough," he growled at those who complained. "You'll get a chance to dress 'em down later. We all will. Let's get this sorted out first, okay? Let me through."
From the corner of my eye, I saw Sharon and Maggie fall to the back of the crowd, melting away from the reinstatement of reason. Away from my involvement, really, more than anything else. Both with jaws locked, they continued to glare at Kyle. Jared and Ian were the last two Jeb shoved aside. I brushed both of their arms as I passed, hoping to help calm them.
"Okay, Kyle," Jeb said, smacking the barrel of the gun against his palm. "Don't try to excuse yourself, 'cause there ain't no excuse. I'm plain torn between kicking you out and shooting you now."
The little face, pale under the deep tan of her skin, peeped around Kyle's elbow again with a swish of long, curly black hair. The girl's mouth was hanging open in horror, her dark eyes frantic. I thought I could see a faint sheen to those eyes, a hint of silver behind the black.
"But right now, let's calm everybody down."
Jeb turned around, gun held low across his body, and suddenly it was as if he were guarding Kyle and the little face behind him. He glared at the mob.
"Kyle's got a guest, and you're scaring the snot out of her, people. I think you can all dig up some better manners than that. Now all of you clear out and get to work on something useful. My cantaloupes are dying. Somebody do something about that, hear?"
He waited until the muttering crowd slowly dispersed. Now that I could see their faces, I could tell that they were already getting over it. Most of them, anyway. This wasn't so bad. Not after what they'd been fearing the last few days. Yes, Kyle was a self-absorbed idiot, their faces seemed to say. But at least he was back. No harm done. No evacuation. No danger of the Seekers. No more than usual, anyway. He'd brought another worm back, but then weren't the caves full of them these days? It just wasn't as shocking as it used to be. Many went back toward their interrupted lunch. Others returned to the irrigation barrel, others to their rooms. Soon only Jared, Ian, and Jamie were left beside me. Jeb looked at these three with a cross expression. His mouth opened, but before he could order them away again, Ian took my hand, and then Jamie grabbed the other. I felt another hand on my wrist, just above Jamie's. Jared. Jeb rolled his eyes at the way they'd tethered themselves to me to avoid expulsion, and then turned his back on us.
"Thanks, Jeb," Kyle said. "Shut the hell up, Kyle. Just keep your fat mouth shut. I'm dead serious about shooting you, you worthless maggot."
There was a weak whimper from behind Kyle.
"Okay, Jeb, but could you save the death threats till we're alone? She's terrified enough. You remember how that kind of stuff freaks Wanda out?"
Kyle smiled at me. I felt shock cross my face in reaction, and then he turned to the girl hiding behind him with the gentlest expression I'd ever seen on his face.
"See, Sonny? This is Wanda, the one I told you about. She'll help us. She won't let anyone hurt you, just like me."
The girl, or was she a woman? She was tiny, but there was a subtle curviness to her shape that suggested more maturity than her size, stared at me, her eyes huge with fright. Kyle put his arms around her waist, and she let him pull her into his side. She clung there as if he were an anchor, her pillar of safety. "Kyle's right."
"Never thought I'd say that."
"I won't let anyone hurt you." "Your name is Sunny?" I asked softly. The woman's eyes flashed up to Kyle's face.
"It's okay. You don't have to be afraid of Wanda. She's just like you."
He turned to me.
"Her real name is Longer. Something about ice."
"Sunlight passing through the ice," she whispered to me. I saw Jeb's eyes brighten with his unquenchable curiosity.
"She doesn't mind being called just Sunny, though. She said it was fine," Kyle assured me.
Sunny nodded. Her eyes flickered from my face to Kyle's and back again. The other men were totally silent and totally motionless. The little circle of calm soothed her a bit, I could see. She must have been able to feel the change in the atmosphere. There was no hostility toward her, none at all. "I was a bear too, Sunny," I told her, trying to make her feel just a little more comfortable. "They called me Lives in the Stars then. Wanderer here."
"Lives in the Stars?" she whispered, her eyes somehow impossibly getting wider. "Rides the Beast!"
I suppressed a groan. "You lived in the second Crystal City, I guess."
"Yes, I heard the story so many times. Did you like being a bear, Sunny?"
I asked quickly. I didn't really want to get into my history right now. "Were you happy there?" Her face crumpled at my questions. Her eyes locked onto Kyle's face and filled with tears.
"I'm sorry,"
I apologized at once, looking to Kyle, too, for an explanation. He patted her arm.
"Don't be afraid. You won't be hurt. I promised."
I could barely hear her answering whisper.
"But I like it here. I want to stay."
Her words brought a thick lump to my throat.
"I know, Sunny. I know."
Kyle put his hand on the back of her head, and in a gesture so tender it made my eyes smart, held her face against his chest. Jeb cleared his throat, and Sunny started and cringed. It was easy to imagine the frayed state her nerves must be in. Souls were not designed to handle violence and terror. I remembered long ago when Jared had interrogated me. He'd asked if I was like other souls. I was not. Nor was the other soul they'd dealt with, my seeker. Sunny, however, seemed to embody the essence of my gentle, timid species. We were powerful only in great numbers.
"Sorry, Sunny," Jeb said. "Didn't mean to scare you there. Maybe we ought to get out of here, though."
His eyes swept around the cave where a few people lingered by the exits, gawking at us. He stared hard at Reed and Lucina, and they ducked down the corridor toward the kitchen.
"Probably ought to get along to Doc,"
Jeb continued with a sigh, giving the frightened little woman a wistful glance. I guessed he was sad to be missing out on new stories.
"Right,"
Kyle said. He kept his arm firmly around Sunny's tiny waist and pulled her with him toward the southern tunnel. I followed right behind, towing the others who still adhered to me. Jeb paused, and we all stopped with him. He jabbed the butt of his gun into Jamie's hip.
"Ain't you got school, kid?"
"Aw, Uncle Jeb, please! Please! I don't want to miss..."
"Get your behind to class."
Jamie turned his hurt eyes on me, but Jeb was absolutely right. This was nothing I wanted Jamie to see. I shook my head at him.
"Could you get Trudy on your way?"
I asked.
Doc needs her. Jamie's shoulders slumped, and he pulled his hand out of mine.
Jared slid down from my wrist to take its place.
I miss everything, Jamie moaned as he turned back the other way.
Thanks, Jeb, I whispered when Jamie was out of hearing.
Yep.
The long tunnel seemed blacker than before because I could feel the fear radiating from the woman ahead of me.
It's okay, Kyle murmured to her. There's nothing that's going to hurt you, and I'm here.
I wondered who this strange man was, the one who would come back in Kyle's place. Had they checked his eyes? I couldn't believe he'd carried all this gentleness around inside his big, angry body. It must have been having Jody back, being so close to what he wanted. Even knowing that this was his Jody's body, I was surprised that he could expend so much kindness for the soul inside it. I would have thought such compassion was beyond him.
How's the healer? Jared asked me.
She woke up just before I came to find you, I said. I heard more than one sigh of relief in the darkness. She's disoriented, though, and very frightened, I warned them all. She can't remember her name. Doc's working with her. She's going to be even more scared when she sees all of you. Try to be quiet and move slowly, okay?
Yes, yes,
the voices whispered in the darkness. And Jeb, do you think he could lose the gun? She's a little afraid of humans still.
Okay, Jeb answered. Afraid of humans? Kyle murmured. We're the bad guys, Ian reminded him, squeezing my hand.
I squeezed it back, glad for the warmth of his touch, the pressure of his fingers. How much longer would I have the feeling of a hand warm around mine? When was the last time I would walk down this tunnel? Was it this time? No. Not yet, Mel whispered. I was suddenly trembling. Ian's hand tightened again, and so did Jared's. We walked in silence for a few moments. Kyle? Sunny's timid voice asked.
Yes?
I don't want to go back to the bears.
You don't have to. You can go somewhere else.
But I can't stay here?
No. I'm sorry, Sunny.
There was a little hitch in her breathing. I was glad it was dark. No one could see the tears that started rolling down my face. I had no free hand to wipe them away, so I let them fall onto my shirt. We finally reached the end of the tunnel. The sunlight streamed from the mouth of the hospital, reflecting off the dust motes dancing in the air. I could hear Doc murmuring inside.
That's very good, he was saying. Keep thinking of details. You know your old address. Your name can't be far behind, eh? How does this feel? Not tender?
Careful, I whispered. Kyle paused at the edge of the arch, Sunny still clinging to his side, and motioned for me to go first. I took a deep breath and walked slowly into Doc's place. I announced my presence in a low, even voice. Hello. The healer's host started and gasped out a little shriek. Just me again, I said reassuringly.
It's Wanda, Doc reminded her.
The woman was sitting up now and Doc was sitting beside her with his hand on her arm.
That's the soul, the woman whispered anxiously to Doc.
Yes, but she's a friend.
The woman eyed me doubtfully. Doc, you've got a few more visitors, is that okay?
Doc looked at the woman.
These are all friends, all right? More of the humans who live here with me. None of them would ever dream of hurting you. Can they come in?
The woman hesitated, then nodded cautiously.
Okay, she whispered.
This is Ian, I said, motioning him forward. And Jared, and Jeb. One by one they walked into the room and stood beside me. And this is Kyle and, Sunny.
Doc's eyes bugged wide as Kyle, Sunny attached to his side, entered the room.
Are there any more? The woman whispered.
Doc cleared his throat, trying to compose himself.
Yes, there are a lot of people who live here. All, well, mostly humans, he added, staring at Sunny.
Trudy is on her way, I told Doc. Maybe Trudy could... I glanced at Sunny and Kyle. Find a room for her to rest in? Doc nodded, still wide-eyed.
That might be a good idea.
Who's Trudy? The woman whispered.
She's very nice. She'll take care of you.
Is she human? Or is she like that one?
She nodded toward me.
She's human.
This seemed to ease the woman's mind.
Oh,
Sunny gasped behind me. I turned to see her staring at the cryotanks that held the healers. They were standing in the middle of Doc's desk, the lights on top glowing muted red. On the floor in front of the desk, the 7 remaining empty tanks were piled in an untidy heap. Tears sprang to Sunny's eyes again, and she buried her face against Kyle's chest.
I don't want to go. I want to stay with you, she moaned to the big man she seemed to trust so completely.
I know, Sunny. I'm sorry.
Sunny broke down into sobs. I blinked fast, trying to keep the tears from my own eyes. I crossed the small space to where Sunny stood and stroked her springy black hair. I need to talk to her for a minute, Kyle, I murmured. He nodded, his face troubled, and pulled the clinging girl from his side.
No, no,
she begged. It's okay, I promised. He's not going anywhere. I just want to ask you a few questions. Kyle turned her to face me and her arms locked around me. I pulled her to the far corner of the room, as far from the nameless woman as I could get. I didn't want our conversation to confuse or frighten the healer's host any more than she already was. Kyle followed, never more than a few inches away. We sat on the floor, facing the wall.
Jeez, Kyle murmured. I didn't think it would be like this. This really sucks.
How did you find her and catch her? I asked. The sobbing girl didn't react as I questioned him. She just kept crying on my shoulder. What happened? Why is she like this?
Well, I thought she might be in Las Vegas. I went there first before I went on to Portland. See, Jody was really close to her mother, and that's where Doris lived. I thought, seeing how you were about Jared and the kid, that maybe she would go there even when she wasn't Jody. And I was right. They were all there at the same old house. Doris's house. Doris and her husband Warren, they had other names, but I didn't hear them clearly. And Sunny. I watched them all day until it was nighttime. Sunny was in Jody's old room, alone. I snuck in after they'd all been asleep for hours. I yanked Sunny up, threw her over my shoulder, and jumped out the window. I thought she was going to start screaming, so I was really booking it back to the Jeep. Then I was afraid because she didn't start screaming. She was just so quiet. I was afraid she had, you know, like that guy we caught once.
I winced. I had a more recent memory.
So I pulled her off my shoulder and she was alive, just staring up at me all wide-eyed, still not screaming. I carried her back to the Jeep. I'd been planning to tie her up, but she didn't look that upset. She wasn't trying to get away, at least. So I just buckled her in and started driving. She just stared at me for a long time and then finally she said, "You're Kyle," and I said, "Yeah, who are you?" And she told me her name. What is it again?
Sunlight. Passing through the ice, Sunny whispered brokenly. I like Sunny, though. It's nice.
Anyway, Kyle went on after clearing his throat. She didn't mind talking to me at all. She wasn't afraid like I thought she'd be. So we talked.
He was quiet for a moment.
She was happy to see me.
I used to dream about him all the time, Sunny whispered to me. Every night. I kept hoping the Seekers would find him. I missed him so much. When I saw him, I thought it was the old dream again.
I swallowed loudly. Kyle reached across me to lay his hand on her cheek.
She's a good kid, Wanda. Can't we send her someplace really nice?
That's what I wanted to ask her about. Where have you lived, Sunny?
I was vaguely aware of the subdued voices of the others, greeting Trudy's arrival. We had our backs to them. I wanted to see what was going on, but I was also glad not to have the distraction. I tried to concentrate on the crying soul.
Just here, and with the bears. I was there 5 life terms, but I like it better here. I haven't had even a quarter of a life term here.
I know. Believe me, I understand. Is there anywhere else, though, that you've ever wanted to go? The flowers, maybe? It's nice there. I've been.
I don't want to be a plant, she mumbled into my shoulder.
The spiders? I began, but then let my voice trail off. The spiders were not the right place for Sunny.
I'm tired of cold, and I like colors.
I know. I sighed. I haven't been a dolphin, but I hear it's nice there. Color, mobility, family.
They're all so far away. By the time I got anywhere, Kyle would be... He'd be...
She hiccuped and then started crying again.
"Don't you have any other choices?" Kyle asked anxiously. "Aren't there a lot more places out there?"
I could hear Trudy talking to the healer's host, but I tuned out the words. Let the humans take care of their own for the moment. "Not that the off-world ships are going to," I told him, shaking my head. "There are lots of worlds, but only a few, mostly the newer ones, are still open for settling. And I'm sorry, Sunny, but I have to send you far away. The Seekers want to find my friends here, and they'd bring you back if they could so you could show them the way."
"I don't even know the way," she sobbed.
My shoulder was drenched with her tears.
"He covered my eyes."
Kyle looked at me as if I could produce some kind of miracle to make this all work out perfectly, like the medicine I'd provided, some kind of magic. But I knew that I was out of magic, out of happy endings, for the soul half of the equation at least. I stared back hopelessly at Kyle. "It's just the bears, the flowers, and the dolphins," I told him. "I won't send her to the fire planet." The small woman shuddered at the name.
"Don't worry, Sunny. You'll like the dolphins. They'll be nice. Of course they'll be nice."
She sobbed harder. I sighed and moved on. "Sunny, I need to ask you about Jody." Kyle stiffened beside me.
"What about her?"
Sunny mumbled. Is she in there with you? Can you hear her?" Sunny sniffed and looked up at me.
"I don't understand what you mean."
"Does she ever talk to you? Are you ever aware of her thoughts?"
"My bodies? Her thoughts? She doesn't have any. I'm here now."
I nodded slowly.
"Is that bad?" Kyle whispered.
"I don't know enough about it to tell. It's probably not good, though."
Kyle's eyes tightened.
"How long have you been here, Sunny?"
She frowned, thinking.
"How long is it, Kyle? 5 years? 6? You disappeared before I came home."
6, he said.
"And how old are you?" I asked her. "I'm 27.
That surprised me. She was such a little thing, so young-looking. I couldn't believe she was 6 years older than Melanie.
"Why does that matter?" Kyle asked.
"I'm not sure. It just seems like the more time someone spent as a human before they became a soul, the better chance they might have at making a recovery. The greater the percentage of their life they spent human, the more memories they have, the more connections, the more years being called by the right name. I don't know."
"Is 21 years enough?" he asked, his voice desperate.
"I guess we'll find out." "It's not fair," Sunny wailed. "Why do you get to stay? Why can't I stay if you can?"
I had to swallow hard.
"That wouldn't be fair, would it?" "But I don't get to stay, Sunny. I have to go, too. And soon. Maybe we'll leave together." Perhaps she'd be happier if she thought I was going to the dolphins with her. By the time she knew otherwise, Sunny would have a different host with different emotions and no tie to this human beside me. Maybe. Anyway, it would be too late. I have to go, Sonny, just like you. I have to give my body back, too.
And then, flat and hard from right behind us, Ian's voice broke the quiet like the crack of a whip.
What?
Chapter 56. Welded. Ian glared down at the three of us with such fury that Sonny shivered in terror. It was an odd thing, as if Kyle and Ian had switched faces, except Ian's face was still perfect, unbroken, beautiful, even though it was enraged.
Ian? Kyle asked, bewildered. What's the problem?
Ian spoke from between his locked teeth.
Wanda,
he growled, and held his hand out. It looked as if he was having a hard time keeping that hand open, not clenching it into a fist. Uh-oh, Mel thought. Misery swept through me. I didn't want to say goodbye to Ian, and now I would have to. Of course I had to. I would be wrong to sneak out in the night like a thief and leave all my goodbyes to Melanie. Ian, tired of waiting, grabbed my arm and hauled me up from the floor. When Sunny seemed like she was coming along too, still joined to my side, Ian shook me until she fell off.
What is with you? Kyle demanded.
Ian hauled his knee back and smashed his foot hard into Kyle's face. Ian, I protested. Sunny threw herself in front of Kyle, who was holding his hand to his nose and struggling to get to his feet, and tried to shield him with her tiny body. This knocked him off balance back to the floor, and he groaned.
Come on,
Ian snarled, dragging me away from them without a backward glance. Ian! He wrenched me roughly along, making it impossible for me to speak. That was fine. I had no idea what to say. I saw everyone's startled faces flash by in a blur. I was worried he was going to upset the unnamed woman. She wasn't used to anger and violence. And then we jerked to a stop. Jared was blocking the exit.
"Have you lost your mind, Ian?" he asked, shocked and outraged. "What are you doing to her?"
"Did you know about this?"
Ian shouted back, shoving me toward Jared and shaking me at him. Behind us, a whimper. He was scaring them.
"You're going to hurt her. Do you know what she's planning?"
Ian roared. Jared stared at Ian, his face suddenly closed off. He didn't answer. That was answer enough for Ian. Ian's fist struck Jared so fast that I missed the blow. I just felt the lurch in his body and saw Jared reel back into the dark hall. "Ian, stop," I begged.
"You stop," he growled back at me.
He yanked me through the arch into the tunnel, then pulled me north. I had to almost run to keep up with his longer stride.
"O'Shea!"
Jared shouted after us.
"I'm going to hurt her,"
Ian roared back over his shoulder, not breaking pace.
"I am? You hypocritical swine!"
There was nothing but silence and blackness behind us now. I stumbled in the dark, trying to keep up. It was then that I began to feel the throbbing from Ian's grip. His hand was tight as a tourniquet around my upper arm, his long fingers making the circle easily and then overlapping. My hand was going numb. He jerked me along faster, and my breath caught in a moan, almost a cry of pain. The sound made Ian stumble to a stop. His breathing was hoarse in the darkness. "Ian, Ian, I choked, unable to finish. I didn't know what to say, picturing his furious face. His arms caught me up abruptly, yanking my feet out from under me and then catching my shoulders before I could fall. He started running forward again, carrying me now. His hands were not rough and angry like before. He cradled me against his chest. He ran right through the big plaza, ignoring the surprised and even suspicious faces. There was too much that was unfamiliar and uncomfortable going on in the caves right now. The humans here, Violetta, Jeffrey, Andy, Paige, Aaron, Brant, and more I couldn't see well as we jolted past, were skittish. It disturbed them to see Ian running headlong through them, face twisted with rage, with me in his arms. And then they were behind us. He didn't pause until we reached the doors leaning against his and Kyle's room. He kicked the red one out of the way, It hit the stone floor with an echoing boom and dropped me onto the mattress on the floor. Ian stood above me, his chest heaving with exertion and fury. For a second he turned away and put the door back in place with one swift wrench, and then he was glowering again. I took a deep breath and rolled up onto my knees, holding my hands out, palms up, wishing that some magic would appear in them, something I could give him, something I could say. But my hands were empty.
"You are not leaving me."
His eyes blazed, burning brighter than I had ever seen them, blue flames. "Ian," I whispered, "you have to see that I can't stay. You must see that."
"No,"
he shouted at me. I cringed back, and abruptly Ian crumpled forward, falling to his knees, falling into me. He buried his head in my stomach and his arms locked around my waist. He was shaking, shaking hard, and loud, desperate sobs were breaking out of his chest. "No, Ian, no," I begged. This was so much worse than his anger. "Don't, please, please don't."
"Wanda,"
he moaned. "Ian, please don't feel this way, don't. I'm so sorry, please." I was crying too, shaking too, though that might have been him shaking me.
"You can't leave."
"I have to. I have to," I sobbed. And then we cried wordlessly for a long time. His tears dried up before mine. Eventually he straightened up and pulled me into his arms again. He waited until I was able to speak.
"Sorry," he whispered. "I was mean."
"No, no, I'm sorry. I should have told you when you didn't guess. I couldn't. I didn't want to tell you, to hurt you, to hurt me. It was selfish."
"We need to talk about this, Wanda. It's not a done deal. It can't be."
"It is." He shook his head, clenching his teeth.
"How long? How long have you been planning this?"
"Since the Seeker," I whispered. He nodded, seeming to expect this answer.
"And you thought that you had to give up your secret to save her. I can understand that. But that doesn't mean you have to go anywhere. Just because Doc knows now, that doesn't mean anything. If I'd thought for 1 minute that it did, that one action equaled the other, I wouldn't have stood there and let you show him. No one is going to force you to lie down on his blasted gurney. I'll break his hands if he tries to touch you."
"Ian, please."
"They can't make you, Wanda. Do you hear me?" he was shouting again.
"No one is making me. I didn't show Doc how to do the separation so that I could save the Seeker," I whispered. "The Seeker's being here just made me have to decide faster. I did it to save Mal, Ian." His nostrils flared, and he said nothing. "She's trapped in here, Ian. It's like a prison, worse than that. I can't even describe it. She's like a ghost, and I can free her. I can give her herself back."
"You deserve a life too, Wanda. You deserve to stay."
"But I love her, Ian." He closed his eyes, and his pale lips went dead white.
"But I love you," he whispered. "Doesn't that matter?"
"Of course it matters, so much. Can't you see? That only makes it more necessary."
His eyes flashed open. "Is it so unbearable to have me love you? Is that it? I can keep my mouth shut, Wanda. I won't say it again. You can be with Jared if that's what you want. Just stay."
"No, Ian." I took his face between my hands. His skin felt hard, strained tight over the bones. "No, I love you, too. Me, the little silver worm in the back of her head. But my body doesn't love you. It can't love you. I can never love you in this body, Ian. It pulls me in two. It's unbearable." I could have borne it. But watching him suffer because of my body's limitations, not that. He closed his eyes again. His thick black lashes were wet with tears. I could see them glisten.
"Oh, go ahead," Mal sighed.
do whatever you need to. I'll step into the other room, she added dryly.
Thanks.
I wrapped my arms around his neck and pulled myself closer to him until my lips touched his. He curled his arms around me, pulling me tighter against his chest. Our lips moved together, fusing as if they would never divide, as if separation was not the inevitable thing it was, and I could taste the salt of our tears. His and mine. Something began to change. When Melanie's body touched Jared's body, it was like a wildfire, a fast burn that raced across the surface of the desert and consumed everything in its path. With Ian, it was different, so very different, because Melanie didn't love him the way I did. So when he touched me, it was deeper and slower than the wildfire, like the flow of molten rock far beneath the surface of the earth. Too deep to feel the heat of it, but it moved inexorably, changing the very foundations of the world with its advance. My unwilling body was a fog between us, a thick curtain, but gauzy enough that I could see through it, could see what was happening. It changed me, not her. It was almost a metallurgical process deep inside the core of who I was, something that had already begun, was already nearly forged. But this long, unbroken kiss finished it, searing and sharp-edged. It shoved this new creation, all hissing, into the cold water that made it hard and final, unbreakable. And I started to cry again, realizing that it must be changing him, too, this man who was kind enough to be a soul, but strong as only a human could be. He moved his lips to my eyes, but it was too late. It was done.
Don't cry, Wanda. Don't cry. You're staying with me.
8 full lives, I whispered against his jaw, my voice breaking. 8 full lives, and I never found anyone I would stay on a planet for. Anyone I would follow when they left. I never found a partner. Why now? Why you? You're not of my species. How can you be my partner?
It's a strange universe, he murmured.
It's not fair, I complained, echoing Sunny's words. It wasn't fair. How could I find love now in this 11th hour, and have to leave it? Was it fair that my soul and body couldn't reconcile? Was it fair that I had to love Melanie too? Was it fair that Ian would suffer? He deserved happiness if anyone did. It wasn't fair or right or even sane. How could I do this to him? I love you, I whispered.
Don't say that like you're saying goodbye.
But I had to. I, the soul called Wanderer, love you, human Ian. And that will never change, no matter what I might become. I worded it carefully, so that there would be no lie in my voice. If I were a dolphin or a bear or a flower, it wouldn't matter. I would always love you, always remember you. You will be my only partner.
His arms stiffened, then constricted tighter around me, and I could feel the anger in them again. It was hard to breathe.
You're not wandering off anywhere. You're staying here.
Ian, but his voice was brusque now, angry but also businesslike.
This isn't just for me. You're a part of this community, and you aren't getting kicked out without discussion. You are far more important to us all, even to the ones who would never admit it. We need you.
No one's kicking me out, Ian.
No. Not even you yourself, Wanderer.
He kissed me again, his mouth rougher with the return of the anger. His hand curled into a fist around my hair, and he pulled my face an inch away from his.
Good or bad? He demanded.
Good.
That's what I thought.
And his voice was a growl. He kissed me again. His arms were so tight around my ribs, his mouth so fierce against mine, that I was soon dizzy and gasping for air. He loosened his arms a little then and let his lips slide to my ear.
Let's go.
Where? Where are we going?
I wasn't going anywhere, I knew that.
And yet how my heart pounded when I thought of going away, somewhere, anywhere, with Ian, my Ian. He was mine, the way Jared never would be, the way this body could never be his.
Don't give me any trouble about this, Wanderer. I'm half out of my mind.
He pulled us both to our feet. Where? I insisted.
You're going down the eastern tunnel past the field to the end.
The game room?
Yes. And then you are going to wait there until I get the rest of them.
Why? His words sounded crazy to me. Did he want to play a game? To ease the tension again?
Because this will be discussed. I'm calling a tribunal, Wanderer, and you are going to abide by our decision.
Chapter 57 Completed. It was a small tribunal this time, not like the trial for Kyle's life. Ian brought only Jeb, Doc, and Jared. He knew without having to be told that Jamie must not be allowed anywhere near these proceedings. Melanie would have to give that goodbye for me. I couldn't face that, not with Jamie. I didn't care if it was cowardly of me. I wouldn't do it. Just one blue lamp, one dim circle of light on the stone floor. We sat on the edge of the ring of light. I was alone, the four men facing me. Jeb had even brought his gun, as if it were a gavel, and would make this more official. The smell of sulfur brought back the painful days of my mourning. There were some memories that I would not regret losing when I was gone. "How is she?" I asked Doc urgently as they settled in before they could get started. This tribunal was a waste of my small store of time. I was worried about more important things.
"Which one?" he responded in a weary voice.
I stared at him for a few seconds, and then my eyes grew wide. "Sonny's gone? Already?"
"Kyle thought it was cruel to make her suffer longer. She was unhappy."
"I wish I could have said goodbye," I murmured to myself. "And good luck." "How is Jody?"
"No response yet."
"The healer's body?"
"Trudy took her away. I think they went to get her something to eat. They're working on finding a temporary name she likes so we can call her something besides the body."
He smiled wryly. "She will be fine. I'm sure she will," I said, trying to believe the words. "And Jody, too. It will all work out."
No one called me on my lies. They knew I was saying this for myself.
Doc sighed.
"But I don't want to be away from Jody long. She might need something."
"Right," I agreed. "Let's get this over with. The quicker the better." Because it didn't matter what was said here. Doc had agreed to my terms. And yet there was some stupid part of me that hoped that there was a solution that would make everything perfect and let me stay with Ian and Mel with Jared in a way that absolutely no one would suffer for. Best to crush that impossible hope quickly.
"Okay," Jeb said. "Wanda, what's your side?"
"I'm giving Melanie back." Firm, short, no reasons to argue against.
"Ian, what's yours?"
"We need Wanda here."
Firm, short, he was copying me. Jeb nodded to himself.
"That's a tricky one. Wanda, why should I agree with you?"
"If it were you, you'd want your body back. You can't deny Melanie that."
"Ian?"
Jeb asked.
"We have to look at the greater good, Jeb. Wanda's already brought us more health and security than we've ever had. She's vital to the survival of our community, of the entire human race. One person can't stand in the way of that."
"He's right. Nobody asked you."
Jared spoke up.
"Wanda, what does Mel say?"
"Huh," Mel said.
I stared into Jared's eyes, and the strangest thing happened. All the melting and melding I had just been through was shoved aside into the smallest part of my body, the little corner that I took up physically. The rest of me yearned toward Jared with the same desperate, half-crazed hunger I'd felt since the first time I'd seen him here. This body barely belonged to me or to Melanie. It belonged to him. There really wasn't room enough for the two of us in here. "Melanie wants her body back. She wants her life back."
"Liar, tell them the truth."
"No,
Liar, Ian said. I can see you arguing with her. I'll bet she agrees with me. She's a good person. She knows how much we need you.
Mel knows everything I know. She'll be able to help you. And the healer's host. She knows more than I ever did. You'll be fine. You were fine before I was here. You'll survive just like before.
Jeb blew out a puff of air, frowning.
I don't know, Wanda. Ian's got a point.
I glared at the old man and saw that Jared was doing the same. I looked away from that standoff to level a grim glance at Doc. Doc met my eyes, and his face clenched with pain. He understood the reminder I was giving him. He'd promised. This tribunal didn't overrule that. Ian was watching Jared. He didn't see our silent exchange.
Jeb, Jared protested. There's only one decision here. You know that.
Is there, kid? Seems to me there's a whole barrel of them.
That's Melanie's body.
And Wanda's, too.
Jared choked on his response and had to start over.
You can't leave Mel trapped in there. It's like murder, Jeb.
Ian leaned forward into the light, his face suddenly furious again.
And what is it that you're doing to Wanda, Jared? And the rest of us if you take her away?
You don't care about the rest of anybody.
You just want to keep Wanda at Melanie's expense. Nothing else matters to you. And you want to have Melanie at Wanda's expense. Nothing else matters to you. So with those things being equal, it comes down to what's best for everyone else.
No! It comes down to what Melanie wants. That's her body.
They were both crouched halfway between sitting and standing now, their fists clenched and their faces twisted with rage.
Cool it, boys. Cool it right now, Jeb ordered. This is a tribunal, and we're going to stay calm and keep our heads. We've got to think about every side.
Jeb, Jared began,
shut up.
Jeb chewed on his lip for a while.
Okay, here's how I see it. Wanda's right.
Ian lurched to his feet.
Hold it! Sit yourself back down. Let me finish.
Jeb waited until Ian, the tendons standing out in his taut neck, stiffly returned to a seated position.
Wanda is right, Jeb said. Mel needs her body back. But,
he added quickly when Ian tensed again,
but I don't agree with the rest, Wanda. I think we need you pretty bad, kid. We got seekers out there looking for us, and you can talk right to them. The rest of us can't do that. You save lives. I got to think about the welfare of my household.
Jared spoke through his teeth.
So we get her another body, obviously.
Doc's crumpled face lifted. Jeb's white caterpillar eyebrows touched his hairline. Ian's eyes widened and his lips pursed. He stared at me, considering. No, no! I shook my head frantically.
Why not, Wanda? Jeb asked. Don't sound like a half-bad idea to me.
I swallowed and took a deep breath so my voice wouldn't turn hysterical. Jeb. Listen to me carefully, Jeb. I am tired of being a parasite. Can you understand that? Do you think I want to go into another body and have this start all over again? Do I have to feel guilty forever for taking someone's life away from them? Do I have to have someone else hate me? I'm barely a soul anymore. I love you brutish humans too much. It's wrong for me to be here, and I hate feeling that. I took another breath and spoke through the tears that were falling now. And what if things change? What if you put me in someone else, steal another life, and it goes wrong? What if that body pulls me after some other love, back to the souls? What if you can't trust me anymore? What if I betray you next time? I don't want to hurt you. The first part was the pure and unadorned truth, but I was lying wildly through the second. I hoped they wouldn't hear that. It would help that the words were barely coherent. My tears turned to sobs. I would never hurt them. What had happened to me here was permanent, a part of the very atoms that made up my small body. But maybe if I gave them a reason to fear me, they would more easily accept what had to be. And my lies worked for once. I caught the worried glance Jared and Jeb exchanged. They hadn't thought of that, of me becoming untrustworthy, becoming a danger. Ian was already moving to put his arms around me. He dried my tears against his chest.
"It's okay, honey. You don't have to be anyone else. Nothing's going to change."
"Hold on, Wanda," Jeb said, his shrewd eyes suddenly sharper. "How does going to one of those other planets help you? You'll still be a parasite, kid."
Ian flinched around me at the harsh word, and I flinched also because Jeb was too insightful, as always. They waited for my answer, all but Doc, who knew what the real answer was, the one I wouldn't give. I tried to say only true things. "It's different on other planets, Jeb. There isn't any resistance, and the hosts themselves are different. They aren't as individualized as humans. Their emotions are much milder. It doesn't feel like stealing a life. Not like it feels here. No one will hate me. And I'd be too far away to hurt you. You'd be safer." The last part sounded too much like the lie it was, so I let my voice trail off. Jeb stared at me through narrowed eyes, and I looked away. I tried not to look at Doc, but I couldn't help one brief glance to make sure he understood. His eyes locked on mine, clearly miserable, and I knew that he did. As I quickly lowered my gaze, I caught Jared staring at Doc. Had he seen the silent communication? Jeb sighed.
"This is a pickle."
His face turned into a grimace as he concentrated on the dilemma.
"Jeb,"
Ian and Jared said together. They both stopped and scowled at each other. This was all just a waste of time, and I had only hours. Just a few more hours, I knew that for certain now. "Jeb," I said softly, my voice barely audible over the spring's gushing murmur, and everyone turned to me. "You don't have to decide right now. Doc needs to check on Jody, and I'd like to see her, too. Plus, I haven't eaten all day. Why don't you sleep on it? We can talk again tomorrow. We've got plenty of time to think about this." Lies. Could they tell?
"That's a good idea, Wanda. I think everyone here could use a breather. Go get some food, and we'll all sleep on it."
I was very careful not to look at Doc now, even when I spoke to him. "I'll be along to help with Jody after I eat, Doc. See you later."
"Okay," Doc said wearily.
Why couldn't he keep his tone casual? He was a human. He should have been a good liar.
"Hungry?" Ian murmured, and I nodded.
I let him help me up. He latched onto my hand, and I knew he would be keeping a tight hold on me now. That didn't worry me. He slept deeply. Like Jamie. As we walked from the dark room, I could feel eyes on my back, but I wasn't sure whose. Just a few more things to do. 3, to be precise. 3 last deeds to be completed. First, I ate. It wouldn't be nice to leave Mel with her body uncomfortable from hunger. Besides, the food was better since I'd been raiding. Something to look forward to rather than endure. I made Ian get the food and bring it to me while I hid in the field where half-grown sprouts of wheat replaced the corn. I told Ian the truth so that he would help me. I was avoiding Jamie. I didn't want Jamie frightened by this decision. It would be harder for him than for Jared or Ian. They each took one side. Jamie loved us both. He would be more evenly torn. Ian did not argue with me. We ate in silence, his arm tight around my waist. Second, I went to see Sunny and Jody. I expected to see 3 glowing cryotanks on top of Doc's desk, and I was surprised that there were still just the 2 healers set in the center.
Doc and Kyle hovered over the cot where Jody lay inert. I walked quickly to them, about to demand to know where Sunny was, but when I got closer, I saw that Kyle had an occupied cryotank cradled in one arm. "You'll want to be gentle with that," I murmured. Doc was touching Jody's wrist, counting to himself. His lips pressed into a thin line when he heard my voice and he had to begin over again.
"Yeah, Doc told me that,"
Kyle said, his eyes never leaving Jody's face. A dark, matched set of bruises was forming under his eyes. Was his nose broken again?
"I'm being careful. I just didn't want to leave her alone over there. She was so sad and so sweet."
"I'm sure she'd appreciate it if she knew." He nodded, still staring at Jody.
"Is there something I'm supposed to be doing here? Is there some way to help?"
"Talk to her. Say her name. Talk about things she'll remember. Talk about Sunny, even. That helped with the healer's host."
"Mandy," Doc corrected. "She says it's not exactly right, but it's close."
"Mandy," I repeated. Not that I would need to remember.
"Where is she?" "With Trudy. That was a good call there. Trudy's exactly the right person. I think she's gotten her to sleep."
"That's good. Mandy will be okay."
"I hope so."
Doc smiled, but it didn't affect his gloomy expression much.
"I've got lots of questions for her."
I looked at the small woman. It was still impossible to believe that she was older than the body I wore. Her face was slack and vacant. It frightened me a little. She'd been so vibrantly alive when Sunny was inside. "Would Mel—"
"I'm still here."
"I know. You'll be fine.
Like Lacey."
She winced, and so did I. "Never like Lacey." I touched Jody's arm softly. She was much like Lacey in some ways. Olive-skinned and black-haired and tiny. They could almost be sisters, except that Jody's sweet, wan face could never look so repellent. Kyle was tongue-tied, holding her hand. "Like this, Kyle," I said. I brushed her arm again. "Jody? Jody, can you hear me? Kyle's waiting for you, Jody. He got himself in a lot of trouble getting you here. Everybody who knows him wants to beat him senseless." I grinned wryly at the big man, and his lips curled up at the corners, though he didn't look up to see my smile.
"Not that you're surprised to hear that," Ian said beside me. "When hasn't that been the case? Eh, Jody? It's good to see you again, sweetheart. Though I wonder if you feel the same way. Must have been a nice break to get rid of this idiot for so long."
Kyle hadn't noticed his brother was there, attached like a vice to my hand, until Ian spoke.
"You remember Ian, of course. Never has managed to catch up to me in anything, but he keeps trying. Hey, Ian," Kyle added, never moving his eyes. "You got anything you want to say to me?" "Not really. I'm waiting for an apology. Keep waiting. Can you believe he kicked me in the face, Jodes? For no reason at all. Who needs an excuse, eh, Jody?"
It was oddly pleasant, the banter between the brothers. Jody's presence kept it light and teasing, gentle and funny. I would have woken up for this. If I were her, I would have been smiling already. "Keep it up, Kyle," I murmured. "That's just right. She'll come around." I only wished I would get to meet her. To see what she was like, I could only picture Sunny's expressions. What would it be like for everyone here meeting Melanie for the first time? Would it seem the same to them as if there were no difference? Would they really grasp that I was gone? Or would Melanie simply fill the role I had? Maybe they would find her entirely different. Maybe they would have to adjust to her all over again. Maybe she would fit in the way I never had. I pictured her, which was picturing me, the center of a crowd of friendly faces. Pictured us with freedom in our arms, and all the humans who had never trusted me smiling with welcome. Why did that bring tears to my eyes? Was I really so petty? No,
Mel assured me. And they'll miss you. Of course they will. All the best people here will feel your loss.
She seemed to finally accept my decision.
Not accept, she disagreed. I just can't see any way to stop you, and I can feel how close it is. I'm scared, too. Isn't that funny? I'm absolutely terrified. That makes two of us.
Wanda, Kyle said.
Yes?
I'm sorry.
Why?
For trying to kill you, he said casually. Guess I was wrong.
Ian gasped.
Please tell me you have some kind of recording device available, Doc.
Nope. Sorry, Ian.
Ian shook his head. This moment should be preserved. I never thought I'd live to see the day that Kyle O'Shea would admit to being wrong. Come on, Jody. That ought to shock you awake. Jody, baby, don't you want to defend me? Tell Ian I never have been wrong before.
He chuckled. That was nice. It was nice to know that I'd earned Kyle's acceptance before I left. I hadn't expected that much. There was no more I could do here. There was no point in lingering. Jody would either come back or she would not, but neither outcome would change my path now. So I proceeded to my third and final deed. I lied. I stepped away from the cot, took a deep breath, and stretched my arms. I'm tired, Ian, I said. Was it really a lie? It didn't sound so false. It had been a long, long day, this, my last day. I'd been up all night, I realized. I hadn't slept since that last raid. I must have been exhausted.
Ian nodded. I'll bet you are. Did you stay up with with Mandy all night?
Yeah,
I yawned. Have a nice night, Doc,
Ian said, pulling me toward the exit.
Good luck, Kyle. We'll be back in the morning.
Night, Kyle, I murmured. See you, Doc.
Doc glowered at me, but Ian's back was to him, and Kyle was staring at Jody. I returned Doc's glare with a steady gaze. Ian walked with me through the black tunnel, saying nothing. I was glad he wasn't in the mood for conversation. I wouldn't have been able to concentrate on it. My stomach was twisting and turning, wringing itself into strange contortions. I was done. All my tasks accomplished. I only had to wait a bit now and not fall asleep. Tired as I was, I didn't think that would be a problem. My heart was pounding like a fist hitting my ribs from the inside. No more stalling. It had to be tonight, and Mel knew that, too. What had happened today with Ian had shown me that. The longer I stayed, the more tears and arguments and fights I would cause. The better the chance that I or someone else would slip up and Jamie would find out the truth. Let Mel explain it after the fact. It would be better that way. Thanks so much, Mel thought. Her words flowed fast, in a burst, her fear marring her sarcasm. Sorry. You don't mind too much? She sighed. How can I mind? I'd do anything you ask me to, Wanda. Take care of them for me.
I would have done that anyway.
Ian, too.
If he'll let me. I've got a feeling he might not like me so much.
Even if he won't let you.
I'll do whatever I can for him, Wanda. I promise.
Ian paused in the hall outside the red and gray doors to his room. He raised his eyebrows, and I nodded. Let him think I was still hiding from Jamie. That was true, too. Ian slid the red door aside, and I went straight to the mattress on the right. I balled up there, knotting my shaking hands in front of my hammering heart, trying to hide them behind my knees. Ian curled around me, holding me close to his chest. This would have been fine. I knew that he would end up sprawled out in all directions when he was really asleep, except that he could feel my trembling.
It's going to be fine, Wanda. I know we'll find a solution.
I truly love you, Ian. It was the only way I could tell him goodbye, the only way he would accept. I knew he would remember later and understand. With my whole soul, I love you.
I truly love you too, my wanderer.
He nuzzled his face against mine until he found my lips. Then he kissed me, slow and gentle, the flow of molten rock swelling languidly in the dark at the center of the earth, until my shaking slowed.
Sleep, Wanda. Save it for tomorrow. It will keep for the night.
I nodded, moving my face against his, and sighed. Ian was tired, too. I didn't have to wait long. I stared at the ceiling. The stars had moved above the cracks here. I could see three of them now, where before there had been only two. I watched them wink and pulse across the blackness of space. They did not call to me. I had no desire to join them. One at a time, Ian's arms fell away from me. He flopped onto his back, muttering in his sleep. I didn't dare wait any longer. I wanted